There's a story that I would like us just to consider tonight. It's something I've shared before, probably here at camp and back home, but it's a story that I, again, speaks much to us all, and to young people, to older people. And if you take your Bibles, we can open to the Gospel of Mark, the 10th chapter. First of all, I want to say that I believe the work here at camp is something that God has ordained. It was something that God brought into existence. I was telling someone that this year is actually our 85th season. Our 80th, excuse me. I'm getting ahead of myself. It's our 80th season. We celebrate our 80th anniversary next year. But we've actually had 80 seasons. And God has been faithful. I was had an opportunity today to be over near Lake George and reminiscing there also with someone about how camp started. In some ways at Lake George, and children were brought up from the city and they rented cabins, and then God put it into the heart of the leaders at that time to purchase their own property. And so you have to stay for next weekend, and then you'll get the history from Brother Paul and others about how camp came into existence. But it was a miracle of God. Now, why do I say all that? Well, I wanted to say this, that it has begun. It was begun as a ministry to children. And we don't want to lose that focus. You know, there are children here tonight on the campgrounds. And they have children have passed through these walked this road and swam at the beach and been in the village this past year. And I believe God is interested in each one. We believe that no one is here by accident, that each one is here because God has appointed it to be so. And that carries over into the staff. You're here because God has brought you here. Oh, no, I just said, no, God brought you here. Because he has a purpose and a desire over your life. And as guests, again, God has brought you to this place so he could minister to you. Now, some years ago, there was a word given during one of our staff meetings, a word in tongues and interpretation, and the Lord said this, I bring you to camp to possess you more fully. I bring you to camp so that I can possess you more fully. That he can have greater control of us. That he can reign as king in our hearts. Do we desire that? To be filled with God? That he would be in control? And so this chapter speaks of the children. Verse 13, and they brought young children to him that he should touch them. Is that your desire? The children that are here at camp, that God would touch them. The little ones that were right here before. Jesus wants to put his hand on them. Maybe he did. Just touch them. Make them know that he's real, that he loves them. But the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, let the little children come to me and forbid them not. For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. You know, I've often relate to you my story of Pilgrim Camp and how the Lord met me. I was a cottager. And when I was 6 years old, I was in the cottage for the first time. And I believe it was that year that I opened my heart to the Lord, 1969. And there's a black Bible, a big black Bible in the library. And I hope it's still there. I didn't check this year. But in that book, my name is written. I gave my heart to Jesus, 1969. Sister Carolyn Gardner was one who would go around, and she would come to the cottage. One of the nights, she would come to the cottage, and she would speak to us about salvation, about giving our hearts to Jesus. She believed that no child should leave this place without meeting Jesus. And I believe that has been our desire throughout the years. Not one child should leave this place without meeting Jesus. And so she brought that book, and she said, now if you've given your heart to Jesus while you're here at camp, you can sign the book. And she referred to it as the Lamb's Book of Life, or you know, used that illustration that your name was now written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And so as a little child I came. It didn't happen in the cottage. Now I said that, right? It happened that year when I was in the cottage, but it happened right here in this room. On a Sunday morning, we didn't have the big meeting house in the village, and so the village came here. And so we were here all in this room on a Sunday morning, and the pastor gave an invitation if anyone wanted to give their hearts to the Lord. And I came forward. And I think there was only maybe five or six of us. And he took us into the library after the service, and he explained to us what it meant. And I'll never forget that. And so suffer the little children to come to me. Can they grasp? Can they understand? Can the Spirit of God touch them? Yes. Yes, they might not know everything, but the Spirit of God can touch our hearts and show us how much we need Jesus. And so what did Jesus do? It says in verse 16, and he took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. And so, Lord, again tonight, put your hand upon the children, the young people that are on these grounds. Jesus, put your own hand upon them. Touch them. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What must I do to inherit eternal life? And I just want you to see that the account here in Mark, there are certain details that are given to us. I want you to see it because I think they're important. Here this man came. It says he ran up to Jesus and he fell on his knees. Now there were other people that came to Jesus and they were asking him all kinds of questions, right? But their intent was not to really get an answer. Their intent was to trip Jesus up, to try to catch him in his words, to try to somehow, you know, they were a little bit devious in their approach. Should we pay taxes? What do you think? Anthony, should I pay taxes?
I wouldn't answer your question.
And so, you know, they tried to, but this man came with a sincere, honest question. Something was bothering him. Something wasn't right inside. And so he comes and he throws himself, as it were, at the feet of Jesus, and he says, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And then that's the fundamental question that we all should be asking. Either you believe that this world is all that there is, or you have to believe that there's something more. There's something beyond this world. God has created us for eternity, and we're going to come to that in one of our lessons this week. But the thought here is, what must I do? Why was he even thinking of that? And Jesus responded, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother. So what did Jesus ask of him? What did Jesus quote? From the Ten Commandments? It was something that this young man probably knew about. He probably had heard about it all his life. Teacher, he declared, all these I have kept since I was a boy. I've done those things. I've tried to be good. I've tried to please God in the best way I know how. And how does Jesus respond to that? Look in your Bibles, because it's only here in Mark. What does it say right after that? Jesus looked at him and loved him. I just love that. That little detail that Mark gives us. Jesus saw that this young man, or this man, was a seeker, a real, true seeker. And I think Jesus takes notice when people are truly seeking after him. Jesus takes notice. And I believe tonight, Jesus is looking down upon us, and he loves us. He loves you. He loves the fact that you are here at Pilgrim Camp, seeking for him, seeking to serve him, seeking for more of him. It does something for his heart to see that there are those who want to please him. It's interesting, Jesus didn't make it easy for him. He didn't give him a shortcut or, you know, a pass and say, you know, I love you, so it's okay, you know. I'm going to bless you. And no, the man had come with a question. And Jesus was going to answer that question or have him answer it. Teacher, all these I've kept since I was a boy. Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack. One thing. It's interesting how sometimes it comes down to just that. In all of our experience with our God, it can be just one thing that keeps us from the best that God has. It can be one thing that keeps us from inheriting eternal life. It can be one thing that will keep you from truly experiencing this wonderful fellowship that God has called us into. And we can look for a lot of religious things, a lot of religious experiences, beloved. But there can be one thing that keeps you from the best that God has for you. For this young man, one thing, he said. Jesus knew all about him. I mean, how did Jesus know? Well, Jesus knew. And Jesus knows all about you, me. He said, young man, one thing you lack. Go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. So what do you do with that? What did Jesus know about this man? Well, he knew that something was holding his heart. You see, the one thing that will keep us from experiencing the love of God in all its fullness is another love. Last night we sang in that wonderful song, Oh Jesus, Jesus, we sang, burn, burn, O love within my heart. Burn fiercely night and day until the dross of earthly loves is burned and burned away. And I don't know what that love is for you. You know, I have to look in my own heart. For this man, it was his possessions. But it doesn't necessarily mean that for every one of us it's money or possessions that's the thing that's got your heart. There could be other things that you put before God and your walk with God and your relationship with God. And as I said, if you are sincere in seeking as this man was, then Jesus will ask you the question. There's just that one thing you lack. You need to do this. He told him, if you sell everything you have and you give to the poor, you will have treasure where? In heaven. In heaven. Young man, you've asked about eternal life. You've asked about really how do I get to heaven? Well, here's the way. Let go of the things that hold your heart upon this earth, the earthly things, and you will have treasure in heaven. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. In that moment, he wasn't able to do what Jesus asked. It saddened him. You know, you can see the inner struggle that he had. It really was tearing him apart, as it were. Am I going to respond to Jesus? He's given me the answer. Or am I going to hold on to what I have, what I hold dear? There's a phrase I skipped over. Jesus had said to him, sell what you have, give to the poor, you'll have treasure in heaven. And then he said something else. He said, come, follow me. You know, I've wondered, would he have been a disciple? Would he have been numbered among the 12? Could we have had 13 disciples? Come, follow me. Come, follow me. You know, I'd like to believe that at some point in this man's life, he chose Jesus. I'd like to believe that. Maybe when Jesus went to the cross, maybe he remembered. Or maybe on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was poured out and the disciples proclaimed the wonderful works of God, and 3,000 were saved on that one day. Maybe he was one of them. We don't know. And I'm not sure really why speculating will help us or not. But the point is this. I'd like to believe that in that encounter with Jesus, something took place. That when Jesus answered his question honestly, and when Jesus looked upon him in love, I'd like to believe that something took place. Maybe when he had time to consider. Maybe when he sat down and really counted the cost. Maybe he said yes. The reason I'd like to believe that is because I think we all have to make a choice. And again, I'd like to believe that God gives us the grace to respond and say yes to him. I know there's always the part, what's my part and what's God's part in this Christian experience. What does God do and what am I required to do? Some people will say, well, you can't do anything. God does everything. And others say, well, I have to do something. I have to work at it. I got to really make myself accepted by God. So is there a place in between? What do you think? What was Jesus asking from this man? What was he asking? Can you sum it up in one phrase? What was he asking? He was asking for his heart. That's it. Jesus was asking for this man to give up the thing that he loved before God. You see, he thought he had kept all the commandments, but he hadn't. He had missed on the greatest commandment. You're to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. God has to be first. He will not take second place. And sometimes we want to somehow have it our way. and also we also want God, but we also want what we want. And it doesn't work. Now, we can have a Christian experience. We can even enjoy the blessings of God. But we miss out on God's best when we hold on to something that he asks us to let go. And so tonight I'd just like to, again, challenge all of us. It's wonderful when God comes and he manifests himself to us. That's precious. It's wonderful when he draws near and he brings us into that stillness. We sense that he is here. But if you want that to be something that continues in your own life when you go from this place, then you need to choose to put Jesus first. What must I do to inherit eternal life? You know, just one just final thought. How did Jesus define eternal life? Is it living forever? I'm gonna live forever. I'm gonna die, no, never. Jesus died on the cross for me, so I'm gonna live forever. That's true. Absolutely true. But how does Jesus define eternal life? Huh? I know you know it. Yes, this is eternal life. This is eternal life, that they may know you, God, and Jesus, whom you sent. And so eternity without Jesus is not heaven. Oh, Jesus, I want to want you. I want to want you more than anything else. You see, this man, in some way, his eyes were blinded by the things he had. And so, Lord Jesus, help us this night just to come. To come in that the way of humility, the way of surrender, a willingness, Lord, to let go, put aside things that would keep us from really knowing you, from really inheriting eternal life. So Lord, I believe that you can speak to each one of our hearts. Lord, there's always something more that you'd like to bestow, something more that you'd like to give. And so Lord, help us not to trade that blessing, the blessing of God, away for something that's temporal or passing.